Back to school means back to routine. Make Kind Breakfast and Kind Breakfast cereal bars part of your out-the-door hustle. Kind Breakfast and Kind Breakfast cereal bars are made with real, nutrient-dense ingredients. Include Kind Breakfast or Kind Breakfast cereal bars as part of a complete morning meal for sustained energy from 100% whole grains. Plus, with oh-so-good flavors like dark chocolate cocoa and blueberry almond, everyone will be smiling out the door. Kind snacks are gluten-free, giving your family convenient snacks to make it from homeroom to the boardroom and back in time for pickup. Life's about to get even more hectic, but the way you snack doesn't have to be. With Kind Nut Bars for an afternoon or late-day snack on the go, snacking becomes the easiest part of your day. You can enjoy the full line of Kind snacks, including breakfast bars and nut bars, and know you're being kind to yourself with whole nuts or whole grains. Right now, get 15% off Kind breakfast bars and Kind breakfast cereal bars with code KIND, only at KindSnacks.com. Exclusions apply.
Welcome to MGP 485. I'm Kev, and with me as ever, the Sheepdog Anna and Pab. Say hello, boys and girls.
Hello.
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 Hello, and welcome to Hat Week, everybody, where we all agreed, despite this being an audio-only podcast, that we'd all wear hats. I'd like to now go around the table, and everyone can tell me what hat they're wearing. Sheepdog, starting with you.
Sombrero. The classic. Excellent.
Pabby?
Bobolat.
Excellent. And Anna, what hat are you wearing?
I don't know. My hair.
I don't know.
Your hair.
How do you not know what hat you're wearing?
You're wearing
you just have to look up, surely.
My hair
I'm
is
wearing
a top knot.
A youth hat, a baseball cap. So there you go. It is officially Hat Week. Now all you need to do as the listeners is tweet at RB6K and let him know what hat you're wearing while you listen, preferably with a picture. That would be perfect.
My hat collection in my photo album is very slim these days because I can't photograph Pab anymore. So fill it up with listener pics. I could put them out when there's no podcast. It's all coming together, Kev.
Exactly. Because, I mean, Sheepdog did threaten to sue me last week when we didn't do a show because to get revenge, me and Pab had a plot. After all these years of you posting pictures of Pab on the weeks where we don't do a show, I posted a picture of you and you didn't know the picture was being taken.
Yep. Pab knows they're being taken because I say to him as he's drifting off to sleep, the moment you get to sleep, I'm snapping you with my phone.
I don't think that counts. I don't think that's okay.
I've been talking to my lawyer and when I say that to him and then he has the audacity to close his eyes and go to sleep, that is implied consent to take photographs of him because I told him the moment he goes to sleep, I'm going to take photos of him. He allows that. If he says no, don't, then I won't. But I say to Pab, just to let you know, when you fall asleep, the camera's coming out and they're all going to be all over
you,
Twitter.
He must charge you like 90% of the cost of these rooms to still agree to room with you when we go away places.
I have
do you ever ask to look at the bill?
No. That is one of these things that I just trust him or I'm just happy to spend the time with him.
Pab hasn't paid for a hotel in 8 years.
They are going up a lot. I mean, inflation has hit the hotel
industry. Not for
industry.
Us, they're not. They're normal price, Sheepdog. Don't listen to him. You're not taking the pictures anymore. You don't need that tax adding on.
Well, I mean, it was that or I agreed to pay his licensing fee. That was the other thing we were having a back and forth over, and I don't pay his picture licensing fee anymore. I figured it's, again, all wrapped up in the costs and the consents that I get from him.
Exactly. Talking of hotels, it is only 2 weeks, I think, now, boys and girls, before EGX. So we're all very excited that EGX is coming. So there's only one more show before EGX. Is that right? Have I got my maths right?
Yeah.
Do I need to consult my calendar?
Yep. You have. Wow. What are we doing about that? I mean...
Well, we're going to EGX.
I mean, episode-wise...
We just won't do one as usual. We'll probably record one down there at some point. I'm down there for the full 4 days for the first time ever. I've never done all 4 days before. This is going to be an experience, especially... they've already given us our press passes, haven't they? Especially off the back of last year's. EGX, trying to string this out for 4 days. If it's anything like last year, it's going to be a major challenge. But yeah, I'm intrigued as to what the Thursday of EGX looks like. So I've never done it before. But
set yourself a target of playing every game down there.
I'm not going to play a single game while I'm there. If it's anything like Insomnia the other week, there's not going to be much in the way of playable games there anyway. It was Insomnia was a weird. Have I even talked about Insomnia? Well, there you go. Insomnia was good in so much as it felt big and like a proper convention again. The first one back earlier in the year felt very much like a first one back. It was much smaller. There were fewer people there. But this one felt like a major Insomnia, and it felt like a pre-pandemic convention. But the crucial difference was where you used to have loads and loads of new and upcoming playable games, there was basically none of that. And that stuff had all been replaced with like battle royale tournaments, esports competitions, a massive esports stage. So there was still lots going on and lots of big shiny lights and stuff that attracted my attention. I mean, I did the full weekend at Insomnia, which I've never done before. And I kept myself amused for the full weekend, but it was very different to if you think back to what conventions were like 5 or 6 years ago when we fell in love with them and we could just go there, and Anna in particular would spend all weekend just playing new game after new game after new game. I suspect Insomnia gives us a clue as to what EGX is going to be like. And we had a little look through the playable games that are on the schedule for EGX, because Anna's still trying to decide whether or not she's going to come, because her back's very poorly at the moment, isn't it? Yeah. Anna's just getting old and broken. So we're not sure yet whether Anna's coming. And I tried to persuade her by showing her all the games that were going to be there to play. And I don't think we found a single game that wasn't already released. And there was stuff like Borderlands 2 that is on the list as a playable game at EGX this year. Borderlands 2, everybody. So that's kind of minimized on the website, the playable game kind of stuff. I don't think it's that kind of show anymore. If you want that kind of thing, Gamescom is probably what you're looking for. And this is going to be more on the lines of what we've seen recently at Insomnia, at TwitchCon, where it's more about meeting up with people and playing big multiplayer games with them and just hanging out and doing challenges and acting silly and just having a jolly good time and all that kind of thing. So I think it's going to be a bigger, busier show. I hope it's going to be a bigger, busier show because I'm there for the full 4 days. Don't know if I mentioned that, but I don't know that we're going to be playing a load of new games. I think I went through the whole 2 day weekend of Insomnia and didn't play any new games. The only time I played a game was when I was streaming playing Fall Guys, and when I played some other Fall Guys at some other point. And obviously that's not exactly a shiny new game, but that was the same thing at TwitchCon, wasn't it, Anna? It was the playable stuff there was like Fall Guys and FIFA and stuff like that. There wasn't like loads and loads of unreleased games to play. There were odd bits and bobs at TwitchCon, like Sega had a little booth there with some game I can't even remember, and Football Manager hidden at the back. But yeah, I think we have to adjust our expectations for what EGX is going to be a little bit. And they're adding more stages. There's more stuff going on. There's a Football Manager panel, for goodness sake. I bet that's going to be amazing. That's going to be worth the cost of entry on its own on the Thursday. A Football Manager panel and a meet and greet with your old pal Kev. What more could you possibly want?
I saw talk of there being two YouTubers who are opening Pokemon cards on a stage, and I thought, I wonder if they got room for you to join them on the Thursday. And just
don't get me started on Pokemon cards. That is a sore point for me today. I was supposed to get, because the new set released today, and I obviously ordered some because I'm a maniac, and we were out this morning, and they came while I was out, and I was expecting just to them to be left with a neighbor or for me to go and pick them up from somewhere tomorrow or something. And rather than it being pick them up at the post office down the road in the morning or go and knock on the neighbour's door, it's on Monday I can go to the McDonald's two towns over. Not McDonald's, Morrison's two towns over, and pick them up from there. So I've got to wait till Monday and go all the way to Morrison's. I'm not happy.
Yeah, that sounds ridiculous. I don't understand that.
I'm without the Pokemon cards at the moment. But I'm hoping, because there's a new set out, we'll have convention prices again, so we'll convince Pabby to buy some more Pokemon cards like we did back in May. If you can get for £100 a box again.
Yeah, but they don't do gold boxes, do they?
No, but they might. I mean, the new set, that's old news.
I don't want
now,
new.
Pokemon Go.
I've not finished the last one.
You're not supposed to finish them. That's not how it works.
Well,
you're
I don't
want to buying more and more.
I'm not buying any new ones until I've got. I'll get some more goals, maybe, but nothing else.
But yeah, the EGX, 2 weeks' time. That's what I was trying to plug, the event that we're all going to be at. So on the Thursday, I've got the Football Manager panel at 2:30, and then between 4 and 5, there's a meet and greet. It's going to be me, Work the Space, Zealand, and Nerdphonic. We're doing the panel. We're doing the meet and greet together afterwards as well. So if you're interested in the Football Manager stuff, I don't know why I do this looking into the camera, but I always do. if you're interested, it's just instinct because I'm sat at my desk. If you're into the Football Manager stuff, come along and listen to us talk nonsense on the panel, and then hang out with us for a bit afterwards. It's a splendid time we had by all. And then Friday, I imagine for chunks of Friday, various combinations of the four of us will be mooching around the show floor. Saturday, don't expect us anywhere near the building. We have jam to buy and comics to peruse. And then Sunday, at a time I can't remember, we have the neurodiversity panel. Sheepdog.
3 o'clock.
How did you know it's at 3 o'clock?
Because you told me.
When? I didn't think I even know.
Yesterday, I don't know, some kind of day, you told me.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm double checking that because I had half two in my head.
At some point Sunday afternoon, we have the neurodiversity panel. They're letting Sheepdog loose on a stage, which seems like a terrible idea.
2 till 2:45.
Oh, there you go. So it'll be finished by 3 o'clock. I imagine what I probably told you, Anna, is we can go home at 3 o'clock. Because we'll do the panel and then leg it, because I'll have been there since Thursday morning.
Yes.
And I'll be ready to have a shower.
All those people who put on the episode, fast-forwarded to the bit where Kev reads out what time we're there, went, 3 o'clock, right, got it. Bin this podcast off. They're not going to be there now. But everyone else who carried on listening will be there at 2.
Exactly. And the other exciting news, of course, before we get into talking about games we've actually played... Football Manager 2023 has been announced, everybody! It's coming out on the 8th of November. Of course I've got a pre-order code. Thank you for asking. Pab's going to put it in the description to this very podcast and every podcast for the rest of time. It takes you to 2Game, who I've been using as my partner for this kind of stuff for the last several years. You already get a 20% discount off the new higher RRP. It's £44.99 RRP now with them, which is £5 higher than last year. Stupid inflation. But you already get a 20% discount off of the RRP by shopping on 2Game. And then if you use code LELUJO at checkout, you get an extra 5% off. And old Kevy gets a little kickback in the back pocket as well to help fund a new hat for next year's Hat Week. And that's what it's all about, boys and girls. Getting me a fresh hat. I'd love a fresh hat.
It's all he's been talking about. That was all you've been going on about before the podcast.
Yeah, that's
not
all
letting
I
your
care
hats
about.
Get sweaty.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to sweat. Yeah, Pab's absurd. Because I changed hats just before we started because I didn't want to make my previous hat sweaty. And Pab's there. We're like, why don't you just sweat in your hat? Because I'm not a caveman,
Pab. You're not
going to
sell them, are you, Kev? You're not going to put them on eBay, are you? No one buys a second-hand hat on eBay, Kev. That's what he was
the
like.
The hat I was wearing, I'm showing this to the microphone so you can all hear it, is completely sealed all the way around. There's no air holes. Whereas the hat I've exchanged it for has got air holes.
If I wore a hat like that, my head would be red from the hat rim up when I took it off. I'd have a completely purple head from all the heat.
That'd be amazing. I might lend you my hat.
I'll get my own. I don't want to wear your sweaty cast-offs.
It's not sweaty. That's the entire point. As soon as I feel like I might be about to start to sweat, I change it for a lightweight travelling hat.
You do look lightweight. You look like you lost some kilograms when you swapped the hats around. You look like you're speed mode.
Because this is a Twitch hat, so it makes me look like a young, attractive streamer, because they're the only people who are on Twitch, as we all know, young and attractive people.
Yeah.
Yes?
I agree.
Thought you might. So, I can carry on talking at length about video games, but if someone wants to step in and tell us about their games or their week, feel free. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep on going, and then I'll be in bed by the advert. It'll be great.
I had a tragedy in the week that my house was going through the grief of my Xbox One, basically stopping. It's sort of working, but I don't know if I mentioned before, but Ollie decided to, even though we have Minecraft on the Xbox as a install, we have like three versions of Minecraft somehow on my Xbox, and he could have just played one of the ones that was built in it, but he was like, I want to play the disc version. So he stuck a disc in, the Xbox ate it, and now it makes this weird noise, and it's just been grumbling and churning and clunking. And I looked online how to fix it, and it was like, oh yeah, if you get a paperclip and just jam it in the side, that's gonna force the disc out. There's some special magic button in there. I didn't have a paperclip, so I tried a lavender piece of a stick from a lavender plant that didn't work. I tried a toothpick that snapped in the hole, and then my wife brought me five paperclips home from work, and I was like, I only needed one. I don't know why you've decided to bring me a pile of them, but she saw them and brought them, bless her. So I straightened one out, forced it the entire length of the paperclip in, even though it was only about 4 centimeters, and nothing happened. I imagine it was jammed against the toothpick that's already broken in the hole, but I kept just trying to force it. I tried shaking the thing. I tried giving it the old sheepdog punch, but it was already working, so it didn't fix the problem. Sheepdog punches only seem to fix it when it's not functioning at all. It started to do some weird... I think the punch actually made it start powering funny, but I depowered it for a few days, and now today it seems to be playing games okay, but I am probably going to be in the market for a new one soon. Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed.
Well, believe it or not, several years ago, they released an updated version, a newer Xbox. You could just get one of those.
I am aware.
Xbox One.
The problem I have with that sort of talk is that I'd be quite happy to just get the digital version, but we have all these games littered around the house that my son likes to just turn on and force into the disc drive and break it every now and again. And I'm like...
Well, it sounds like if you take the disc drive away, you're solving that problem.
Yeah, but it also means he loses a load of games. I mean, I'll probably just rebuy them, I suppose. I'll be on Game Pass.
You've got
stuff,
Game Pass, exactly. Yeah. There's no games out there that you'd want to play that aren't on Game Pass, surely.
You say that, but he, out of the blue, has just suddenly been playing Yo-Kai Watch on the 3DS all week. And I'm not reviewing this in that I've played it, but bloody hell do I feel like I've played it, because he will not stop asking me questions about it. I've been reading Google. I've had to learn this game to help him through it. And it does sound fun. He was like, you should play it. I was like, I feel like I already have. So, like, yeah, he's been playing that all week. And that was bought for him like 3-4 years ago. He just randomly saw it on a shelf and was like, oh, I've not played this, and just started playing it through. So yeah, it's I don't know what he'll want to play when he want to play it. He just picks stuff up. I have got a new game on that broken Xbox that I have played. I'm just trying to get the exact name of it, and I had it on my bloody phone. And yeah, okay, the new Disney Dreamlight Valley game. Have any of you played this?
I've dabbled in it, yes.
I've noticed a lot of people are streaming it, and I was like, ooh, I wonder what it would look like on my PC. But part of me is like, I don't know. It's like a mix between all those, like, My Time in Porsche, Stardew Valley, like that, where you collect Stardew resources Valley. To do little jobs. Yeah.
Animal Crossing S.
Yeah.
But it's a mobile game.
You're telling me there's a Disney game that's like Stardew Valley?
I did say this. Honest.
You did not say Stardew Valley. You said Animal Crossing, to which I went,
it's more Animal Crossing.
I mean,
it is, yeah.
I don't really know that I feel... I mean, I haven't played that much Animal Crossing, but I don't feel like it's that similar in that way. I feel like it's more... Basically, I got it for Ben because he doesn't get any games. I saw this was a 3+, and I thought, oh, you know, like when I reviewed Paw Patrol the other week, I've been trying to get him into games, trying to get him games for his age. But this says it's a 3+, and then it's all bloody written word, and it tells you how to play the game in writing. So he sat there kind of like, he just about knows his phonetic alphabet if he tries his absolute hardest, and all of this. So I expected to sit him down and then go about my business, but I've ended up having to sit there playing it with him, which is great because it's a nice, like, father-son thing. We're playing through it together, helping him out and that. But yeah, don't advertise it as a 3+ when it's clearly more like a, I don't know, 6-7+, or if your 3-year-old can read to a high standard, excellent, well done you. But no, it seems pretty interesting, seems pretty fun. Your character's just in the Disney Dreamlight world, Dreamland, whatever it's called, and it's all dark and there's thorns everywhere and there's Merlin the wizard there, and he's like, oh, you know, it's all gone wrong. You know, you need to help us out. I've lost all of our stuff. And you're kind of helping people with little quests, like Scrooge McDuck's furniture shop has run out of stock and shut down. You have to help him. And Mickey's randomly decided to throw recipes all over the world. It's like, all right, Mickey, you should probably go look for them, mate. I'm not helping you, you know, do it yourself. But he just stands around while you go look for him. Goofy's there, he's got bits and pieces going on, and you're just sort of finding orbs, digging stuff. Like, there's loads
you
of blocks.
You can fish.
Yeah, you can fish. You can lots smash stones and get resources from them. You can dig holes and plant carrots and stuff like that. I kind of take it in turns letting Ben control it, and he seems to be enjoying, like, it's not too hard for him to control. I tend to, the fishing was a bit weird because it was like, you just throw the rod in, it's really simple. And then it took us like 9 attempts to figure it out. So it wasn't simple at all, but I might just be simple, you know. He's excited to see what characters come up later. Like, he was trying to, he was asking me all this, like, yeah, when's Scar going to be in it? When's Wally going to be in it? It's like, well, we've literally just started the game together. How would I know? But no, it just seems really fun. And it's on both Xbox and PC. I don't know whether it's
on PlayStation.
Other okay. I was going to say, I feel like Disney would have put it on everything, wouldn't they? But it's on Game Pass.
But I thought Disney had ceased doing games, but now they're slightly bringing them out again. Or was that just Disney as a company? And
Disney Studios, yeah. But this is made by Gameloft. And this is the thing for me. I don't know if I just wasn't in the mood for it. But I was like, this feels like a mobile game. And I realised who made it. And I was like, nah.
It has got a little bit of that. Like, because, I mean, you get a house that you live in and you can get kit for it. And I mean, there was a little menu that came up and it was saying, like, there's 900 items of some bracket you can find. There's, you know, a couple hundred of these things you can find. There's a couple of hundred memories you can unlock. There's, you know, loads of quests you can do. And so I feel like if somebody's really into just collecting, completing and doing tasks, it's probably something, if you set yourself the goal of, you know, 100%ing it, it'd probably take you a bit of a challenge and it'd be, you know, an ebb and flow on how hard it was. You know, most of it's probably going to be quite straightforward, but there'll be the odd bit where you're like, okay, this is actually ridiculous. So, I don't know, it just seemed like there was a lot of depth there. I'm trying desperately to convince Ollie to not hound, but like, he was going, like, Ben, press this button, do this. And I'm like, just let him wander. Because when I did want to just nip out the room or go and make up tea or whatever it was, and he was just wandering, I'd come back and he just found stuff. So he could play it. It's just he couldn't understand what Merlin was telling him in written word or what the characters were saying in written word. It needs that add in. But I think once you're just running loose, he was having fun just digging stuff. It was keeping him busy. He's excited to play it over the weekend. And I feel like it's just going to be one of those things that they kind of want to put on every now and again. And I'll just dip in and out of it. I don't know that the story's that gripping. Like, each character's probably got a little arc where you help them with a problem and then they thank you for it and you get a little bit of story for it, but it's more just out like, oh wow, look, there's Ursula from The Little Mermaid, oh look, there's so-and-so from this. And it's Disney, it's fun, it'll keep the kids entertained, so I'm happy with that. The only other thing I've been playing is I'm still on Two Point Campus. I'm still terrible at it. I think you saw me play it in the week, Kev, and I don't think I'm particularly good at it.
You are correct.
I don't know how to get average grades up to a decent amount other than kicking the F grade students out.
Well, putting up your entry requirements would be a starting point.
What does that mean? Like, you got to get good at school grades or whatever?
No, you can make it so that if you get, like, you can put up the price so that'll make fewer people apply. Just get those rich kids who went to good schools in. But also you can make it so if you get 60 applicants, for example, you choose how many you actually let in. So if you've got 60 applicants, I think by default, it lets everyone in who applies. So you let the thickos in. But if you've got 60 applicants and you only let 35 start the course each year, then the 25 dumbest ones don't make it on. So you get a better average cohort.
Okay, so maybe I need to start doing that from now on then.
Maybe you need to read the rules of the game, silly boy.
When does it tell you this? Because, like,
I think I was just rooting through the menus, having a look.
Okay. It's not very... I'm not going to start rooting through stuff without being told to, like you've just done. I didn't know it was there.
Stuff.
I didn't know it was an option to do. I thought they told you this thing as it went, and they'd say, on a level like this, I would have expected them to go, do you realise you can vet people before they come in? Because giving you an average grade of an A is pretty cheeky, but that's, I guess, a level 2 challenge.
Yeah, you need to get the average A grade, you need to really ramp up the quality of your cohort, and then also make sure your teachers are really trained, you've got your lecture theatres and all your other stuff is leveled up to the max. There's stuff you can do to get there, but I think that one probably did take me about 8 or 9 years to get to the point where I ticked everything off. That was
yeah, I'd
the longest one I did.
I'd forgotten I could upgrade the lecterns and all that, and yeah, it was a challenging one. I mean, I need to play it more off stream, because when I'm on stream, I don't want to sit there and read through things, and I'm trying to chat to people, and yeah, I think that was a sort of level where it was really hard to just get stuck in and actually focus on it, and I probably need to just play it more like that. But yeah, no, they're the two things I've been playing mostly, and it's been a decent week other than the Xbox breaking. But yeah, over to one of you lot.
Well, I am now the undisputed world champion of Civilization 6, because I tweeted out that I'd won a diplomatic victory. I've been playing a lot of Civ 6 over the last week or so. Got into it again after I played a lot of it on my Switch when it first came out on the Switch. I think I've got like 90 or 100 hours of it on my Switch. But I'd never really touched it on the PC, because I don't like to sit at my PC playing games, because I'm sat here all day. I'd like to be sat on the sofa with my feet on Alan when I Alan is my footstool. I like to be sat with my feet on Alan the footstool and my head resting on my large bread shaped cushion when I'm playing my video games, which usually means Switch or Steam Deck. So the reason I was playing Civ again is because I remembered I liked it on the Switch. So I bought all of the new DLC, got it fully up to date with the plan to play it on the Steam Deck, because I figured, oh, wow, it's going to be great on the Steam Deck. It was great on the Switch. The Steam Deck's actually a powerful bit of kit. It won't run like a turd, because when you're playing it on the Switch, once you get like 300 or 400 turns in, you press continue and then wait 3 minutes and then it's your turn again. It takes forever. So I thought, well, it gets us over that issue. But I loaded it up and straight away realized that it didn't have the console controls on there as standard. I had to use the right touchpad as a mouse and then the trigger as a click on a mouse. And there wasn't a way in the settings or anything to switch it over to the console control scheme, which I'm sure you can probably mod it or map the controls yourself to be able to do it. But because it doesn't have the console controls built in, it also doesn't have the console context menu things, the console UI. So it just doesn't work properly on the Steam Deck, which is really infuriating for a game that's on the Switch, it's on the PlayStation, it's on the Xbox. There's so many versions of this exact game that have the console controls. Please, Sid, I'm talking directly to you. Can I have the console controls for the PC version on Steam, please, so that I can play it on my Steam Deck? But because I couldn't play it on my Steam Deck, but I'd spent like 30-odd quid buying all the new DLC, I thought, well, I better play it on my PC then. So I streamed it and had a jolly good time sitting there on a stream. I think it was like a 5-hour stream that I did one evening, and I just had a bunch of people in there teaching me how to play it like a grown-up. So after my stream, I then played it a couple more times this evening, this week, while the Champions League was on and whatnot. I'd have that on in the background, and I'd be playing Civ, and I got my first diplomatic victory, and I'm very proud of myself. I was going for a science victory, but never mind that. I got a diplomatic victory, tweeted it out. At which point, Zealand immediately challenged me to a game. And then shortly after, Civilization 6 themselves challenged me to accept his challenge. So now, because Sid himself, or whoever runs social media for Civ, has said I've got to accept Zealand's challenge, I've now got to play a multiplayer game of Civilization 6 against Zealand, who I've checked his Steam stats. He's got 120 hours on it on Steam, which isn't a lot for Civ. But I've only got 40 hours on the PC version. And while I've got my 80 or 90 hours on the Switch, that's equivalent to about 4 minutes on the PC because of our different speeds run. So I am well behind. So I'm trying to delay this and get caught up. What I want to do is do every victory on deity difficulty before I agree to play Zealand. But the clock is ticking and we are going to have to play this game on stream before FM23 comes out, which now we have a release date, means the clock is really ticking. So we're probably going to have the beta in the next 5 or 6 weeks. So I have a lot of time. And having played the network game with Zealand all year, I know how long a game of Civilization with him is going to take. It's going to be worse than the Switch speeds. At least I'm primed for it taking forever after I hit continue, while Zealand's there doing individual training plans for each individual unit, so that he can, and faking press conferences, and there's actual gods in this that he can actually pray to. I mean, it's going to be a long haul, but I need to beat him at something else because I just love beating him at things. It's kind of what I do now, just beat Zealand at everything. So that's my new thing. So if anyone's got any Civilization tips, If you can tweet them at RB6K, he'll collate the best ones and hand them over to me as part of my training.
I will.
Excellent. Pab, put in an advert and then talk about some games. That was a lovely advert, Pabby. Really, really top tier stuff. And now, if anyone else would like to talk about a video game, Phil, you're... Oh, by the way, I mentioned Football Manager earlier. I haven't mentioned any of the key things about it. I don't know if any of the rest of you have paid attention to the announcements. You should have done. It's coming to PlayStation. So that's big. It's going to be on PS5. They've got the UEFA license. So we're going to have fully licensed Champions League, Europa League, Conference League, European Super Cup. And it's coming back to iPad. We're getting iPad Touch versions through Apple Arcade. And this is, it's part interesting, part a little bit worrying where it's heading. Because you can't buy the game for iPad like you always used to be able to. It's included in the Apple Arcade subscription, with the idea being that the same version of the game will run across Mac, iPad, and phone. So it allows you to have the 3D match engine on iPhone for the first time, and allows you to take your save between your Mac, your tablet, your Apple TV, your phone, because all Apple Arcade games have to work on everything and be cross-save stuff. So it's really cool how it's going to work within the Apple ecosystem. And as an Apple nerd who has all these devices, I'm quite excited to try it out. But I'm less excited to pay £5 a month for Apple Arcade to be able to give it a try. I'm certainly not going to subscribe to that all year, because I'll obviously play Football Manager in the main on my big boy computer. But it's interesting. It almost feels like a cheeky little way for them to test the water on the subscription model that they said they'd never do. It's very interesting. And they'll say it's not that, and it is just... Obviously, Apple have probably thrown money at them to do it on Apple Arcade, which is fair enough. Why not? They've taken the money from Xbox. They've now taken the money from PlayStation. I'm all about this company making money. The more money they make, the longer they survive, the longer I have a job for. So I'm all in on them making plenty of money. But basically, you've got more opportunity to play Football Manager this coming year than ever before. It's out on everything. Play it. Football Manager. Now you lot can talk. I'm looking at wrestling belts on Amazon. Anna's going to love
this. No, you're not. Because the other one, where is it still? On the floor.
I bought a wrestling belt at the WWE in Wales. I've got the NXT UK Championship. It's on my floor at the moment, but I do have the stand that I'm going to assemble tomorrow.
Yeah, you got the stand 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's made of cardboard. I'm still furious with it. I spent £30 on a cardboard box to display my wrestling belt in. But I am looking forward to getting it set up in my display, my wrestling belt, pride of place. It's going to be very cool. Talk about games, okay. For goodness sake. You lot are so, you're so nosy. All you want to do is know about my wrestling belts. You're so nosy. Yeah.
Okay.
Is there really no...
I was going to say, I was like, didn't want to interrupt him. How rude.
The emergency broadcast signal nearly came on then, for goodness sake.
I thought we were having a minute silence for my Xbox. Yeah.
Wowzers.
Oh my goodness. So this week I have played... No, this past 2 weeks I've played a lot of games. Ooh. I've played a little bit of a lot of games. I can start off... I've platinumed Horizon Forbidden West. Finally, done.
You platinumed it?
Yep, it's done. It's done. 73 hours later. It's... took a while.
So you admit that you didn't do the new game plus though.
You don't need to. It's not counted. It's not part of the.
We know the truth though, Pab.
I mean, the new game plus thing is finish the game on new game plus and then finish the game on. I think then the extra two difficulties on new game plus. So that means you've got to finish it another 3 times and scale the difficulty.
There's no way
each time.
You haven't done it, Pab.
You finish
that
3 times.
I'm not. It hasn't. That 4 times, Anna.
4 times. Yeah.
I think you have to do it like. Just keep new game plus in 4 times, like 3 other times.
No, that'd be 4 asterisks is next to your platinum trophy. Well, like, there.
No, because it's a separate set of trophies.
How can you 100% something when there's 4 things left to do?
But because it's Horizon Forbidden West, then that's the trophies folder for that one, and then underneath it is a folder called New Game Plus, and there's no platinum in the New Game Plus folder.
If you go to the top level folder, Pabby, that folder isn't 100% complete. You've You've 100% hit a quarter of it there, mate.
Well, guess what? I'll be turning the PlayStation on after we're done and I'll take a picture and show you the way it says 100% complete.
100% of that quarter, Pab.
Quarter?
Don't be mean. He's finished the game.
Yeah, have you I'm even not played doing it?
I have no intention of playing it. I'm not the one who announced to the world I was going to do 100% of the game and then...
Well, yes, and 100% of the actual
three quarters of it on the table.
In what world did I say 100% in? I said I'm going to platinum it.
It's as bad as me saying to my wife, I'm going to tidy the house, and then I just move a few things around in the living room and then put my feet up.
That's called a doom pile. Just saying.
Yeah, Pab's got a doom pile.
Enough of my piles.
Oh, we're talking about piles? I can love this conversation.
No, we're not talking about anything toilet related, Kevin.
Okay.
But yeah, I finished that. I enjoyed it a lot. I mean,
not enough to play it three times more. Sorry, I will let you talk.
No, I definitely don't enjoy it enough to play it three times more on a scaling harder difficulty every time. No, I don't. I was going to uninstall it and I thought, no, I'll just leave it on there because it's not doing any harm. And there'll be a DLC for that at some point, I expect. So we'll get back to that at some point. What else have I played? I've played some of the Hot Wheels DLC for Forza Horizon 5. And it's pretty good. I don't know if you've played this, Kev, the Hot Wheels.
This came out like 2 years ago, didn't it?
No, the new one for Horizon 5.
I didn't know there was a new one.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, Horizon 5.
Anna, your responsibility is to tell me this kind of thing.
I do, and you don't listen.
Yeah, so there's a new Horizon thing. It's like you go to a new island and all this sort of thing. Actually, no, first things first. So I turn the Xbox on to do this. It updates. 30 gig update. I'm like, right, okay, fine. I've not done it for a while. Let's let it do it. Just put the Xbox in standby. Turn it off. Come back the day after. It's not done it. We did about 4 gig and then just kind of gave up.
Did a pat me by the sounds of it.
The Xbox.
It just
did exactly what you do.
I don't know why it did it.
Saying you're going to do something and then only doing a part of it.
Sheepdog.
Where's that sound familiar?
Sheepdog. Where are you staying in 2 weeks?
Well, I don't know at this point. You said you booked a hotel, but you probably only did half the job.
Yeah, I've booked an hotel for me, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's doing half the job, isn't it? Classic Pab.
Mm. Oh, my God. Stop being mean.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're a disgrace, Sheepdog.
So I have left the Xbox on to update, did it, got in the game. It popped up going, oh, the Hot Wheels bit, here it is. Go to this part on the map. Went there, clicked into the event, and it went, oh, you want to play this? Oh, we've got to download this. So another 30 gig to download
gig.
That. And I was like, well, this is just ain't happening right now. So I was left it on again. And it finally let me go into the actual Hot Wheels stuff. And it's a whole separate island with all like the orange tracks everywhere. And there's bits of blue and the booster things. And they've just got all... I didn't play the last one, I don't feel like I played the last Hot Wheels one. I know I played the Lego one last on 4, but I don't think I played the Hot Wheels stuff on 3, so I don't know. I feel like it probably is more of the same, but it is very good. It is a very good game to play just zipping around everywhere, because the boosts are insane. Like, when you go over the booster pads and what have you, you get longer for, like, so fast. It's a lot of fun, and it's still got all, like, the... You have like the map of the, like all the orange tracks, and then each of them has like different races on it, and each one has like, I feel like it's more, this reminds me more of old Gran Turismo, where you have to have like a certain license. So you start off with like it's either a C license, or it's a very early license you get, and you can only do those races that are in that class, and then once you complete them, you can then move on to the next license and then go up and then do the next set of races and do it and so on and so on. It's much more structured than the other ones, because Forza Horizon 5, it's like you just ping pong around the map and do whatever you wanted, I feel like. I don't know whether it's just because it's a maybe more structured, smaller kind of thing, where, because you obviously you're on these tracks. They've got like these, like, they're like effectively bumpers on either side of the track, aren't they? You can't just boot through a wall and across the field to get to where you want to go, you are restricted to what to the tracks and what you do with them. Sort of, you can't go and just zip over a mountain and take these jumps. So there's not like the challenges that do all these different things like that. But it is still fun. I've enjoyed it a lot. And I did this. It prompted me to play this because I've also played the Hot Wheels game that came out last year, Hot Wheels Unleashed, which is similar but different. Because it, Hot Wheels Unleashed, you are playing as the toys. You're playing tiny car in a big world sort of thing. You are playing in someone's basement, in a garage, and there's like a pool table and whatever, and you kind of drive around. It's sort of akin to something like, a bit like Micro Machines, I want to say. Yeah, that sounds right. So you are driving around as these tiny little cars. It's much more arcadey. It drives more like Mario Kart, if I'm honest with you, than it does Forza. But it's still, I enjoyed it a lot. I've enjoyed what I've played. You get like sort of like loot boxes for cars. You get a little Hot Wheels box, and then every time you level up or something, you get a box and you can check what car you get, and then you can equip them and sell them. If you get replicas, you can sell them and get a few coins back and then potentially buy another loot box from it. And I'd also been playing on the Steam Deck. I played it on the Steam Deck. It works fine. The only issue, like I say, it got in my head where I was trying to do a time trial thing and I was 0.08 seconds away from beating the thing and I couldn't do it. I was like, this is like the third thing to do in the game. And I did it for about an hour and I just couldn't do it. I just could not do it. And it just let you hot lap every single time. So it wasn't like you finished it and it'd go restart the race. It'd just go, nope, you didn't do it, go again. And you just be going round and just carry on driving again and again and just looping for about an hour. I did it and then I just was like, nope, off, turn it off. I can't do this right now. Doing this at like 11 at night, I'm just driving around in bed, just driving around, it was drove me insane because I'm like 0.08 seconds away from getting the time that I needed. But it's all right. It is, like I say, similar but different between the two. Like I say, one, Forza, even though it's Horizon, it is much more sim racing compared to Hot Wheels Unleashed, which is very much arcadey, Mario Kart-esque. And speaking of small character in a big world, I've played about 2 hours of Tinykin. Have we heard of Tinykin?
Oh, I love Tinykin. I have finished this game.
You finished it.
I love that game.
I wished I'd say I could have finished it. I have inadvertently wiped my save.
No.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I went to play it yesterday and it was like, I went into the, you know, clicking the game, have the controller on. So I'm playing it on Game Pass. I think it's on Xbox as well as PC. I'm playing it on the PC.
On Xbox.
Yeah. So I booted up and then I got clicked to go on and then the buttons aren't working as they should. I don't understand why A is B and such a thing. I can't get to certain menus or whatever. I was in the settings or whatever it was. And then I somehow found myself starting a new game and I was like, well, I didn't press anything to start a new game. What? And then I realised the controller had activated as a mouse on my PC. And the buttons were behaving like a mouse. Like mouse button, like mouse and keyboard controls. And mm-hmm. somehow I'd managed to back myself out of a menu without pressing the buttons to back and start a new game. So I don't have a save anymore.
Oh, no.
So now I'm
start
like,
again, it's great.
Yeah, but do I want to do 2 hours again of
yes,
start
I
the
do.
Game? So anyway,
I'll do it for you. Send her your login.
The premise of this game, you are like this. It's like, I feel like you're an alien colony looking for planets. Is that right?
Yeah.
That sounds right. And you get to a planet and you are this tiny little person and you are working effectively on behalf of bugs. It feels like
yeah
insects.
Yeah.
you're working about, because it feels like the like there's only insects in the world, but I don't know, it's just because you're tiny, that's what all it seems to perceive as. But you're in a real life world, you're in, like, I feel like the hub world is like the corridor, and you go to different rooms around.
It's like Pikmin.
Yes. So here we go. You have these little like alien creatures that you kind of like run up to, and then they kind of pop out at you, and they're like little balls. Like, I can't describe what they look like. They reminded me a little bit of like Among Us characters, the way they looked, but the little tiny little balls, and each of them do different things. So one's like strong, some explode, some do all sorts of other things, and you collect them, and then certain things require you to use them. So certain things need to be pushed over, certain things need to be carried. So you need the strong ones. You can just kind of go up to an item and just kind of spam the little creatures at said item, and it'll do whatever it needed to do. Yeah, I just enjoy it. So like a 3D platformer sort of thing with the Pikmin elements to it, and it is very good. I did enjoy the 2 hours that I've played of it, and I probably will play it again. I'm tempted just to wait until it goes on sale, because I feel like I could play it on the Steam Deck quite easily and play it quite a lot. But yeah, I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I don't know about you, Anna, but
you've played it
enough to finish
it. The way through.
Yeah, how long is it?
Yeah, I'd say about 8 hours.
Okay, yeah, so it's not that long then.
It's not a long game, but I put this on, I enjoyed it immensely. So you're a small, like you said, a small space character that needs to find a new world, and you land on this world, and you gather up these critters, and like you said, some of them can explode, some of them... So there's ones that you have to build like a ladder so you can reach high places. You just throw them around and do multiple things with them, and I love the environment of being really small and everything being really big. I don't know why.
Reminds you of real life.
Funny. But yeah, like in Borderlands, Tiny Tina's Borderlands, there's a section there where you're small and everything, like you're in a room and everything is giant, and I like that perspective.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, so I've been, like you said, I've been to a kitchen, a front room, a bedroom, the toilet, just things you'd find in the house. And it like, you progress through the game with that. So you've got insects that rule this world, and they've all got fights going on about who's in this clan and who owns this room. So you have to like do their tasks for them, but then there's also tasks like there's like a collecting element. There's like all these balls of pollen that you have to collect, and if you collect it, that gives you an extra bubble, and the extra bubble will help you float more, so float further. There's like mini quests around the map, so like I don't know, you needed 15 to take a photo, but you need 15 because you need 15. I don't even know what they're called.
I can't remember last week when I played it.
But you need 15 of them to throw at it like in Pikmin, so it can carry the camera to where it's going. So yeah, it really is a good game. Like I said, I think it can be done in 6 hours, but I have a tendency where I want to find everything. So like that you can complete the whole map by finding all the pollen, doing all the side missions and doing the main mission, and then that is done. But some of the things, some of the pollen is hidden, and you have to go like out of bounds to find them. Like you're supposed to be out of bounds, but they're not, you can't see them unless you're looking for them. I think I did one room where I found all of them, and it took forever, because I was like, where is it? I cannot find it. And then I looked and I could see this shiny thing, opened a drawer, and there's like a whole load of pollen in there. So I was like, okay. So there is bits of the map fenced off. But yeah, definitely enjoy this. I think anyone can pick up the basis of this and just have a very lovely time. It's just, you don't have to think. You can just have fun. And like, as you're going around, your party grows behind you and like it gets massive. There's so many with and you. You're like,
what else, wow. I liked is that it's like 2D, 3D. So the environment's mm-hmm. all 3D, but all the characters and all the creatures and whatever are all 2D.
Mm-hmm.
So it has it's a cool like art style for it. I do like it a lot. And yeah, I enjoy just going through and looking and going in the TV and going through all different like giant, like, you know, you're tiny going through all these different items and objects. And then, like you say, you're going collecting a lot of things. You're collecting items basically to get to rebuild your ship, is it? I feel like.
Yeah, you've got like that. They've got a blueprint that parts. They need to build, and then you find the parts. Yeah.
Yeah, each level has one of the parts, and you, like you say, Anna, you probably could do it a lot quicker but it just gives you side quests. There's like so many different things, like side quests. Like, look, get this and bring this. All right, okay. And then it's like, it's simple initially. It's like, oh, just do this thing, and you do it almost immediately. And then some of them, like you say, take that picture, and you're like, oh, I need so many of these creatures now to be able to lift this camera and go and take it over to where I need to take a picture of.
And then remember where it is.
The other thing, remembering where everything is, because obviously it's quite a big map, even though it's one room. It's still quite a sizable map. And it's also quite vertical as well. You can a lot of levels to it to getting up and down it as well. I enjoyed it a lot. I did enjoy it quite a bit. I probably will start it again. Just because I'm just toying with whether I just hold off or maybe just buy it on the Steam, because I think it's only £15 on Steam, but it's not hugely expensive. But I could even try streaming it through Game Pass on the Steam Deck some way or another.
Yeah, you should stream it. It is really good. Definitely.
The other thing I played this yesterday, and I lost the evening to it. I didn't plan on it. I wanted to see what it was. It's called Immortality. It's from the people who made Her Story a few years ago. It's all FMV. And you are trying to piece together the disappearance of Marissa Martel, who is a up and coming actress, and you've got scenes or clips of three separate films that she made that were never released, but so you've got like them all, and they're not in order, they're not in anything like that. You just basically got ushered toward like the start of like this starting clip, and this is where she's just on a talk show doing an interview, and then at any point you can scrub back and forward through this clip, and the clips can last like 20 seconds to 3 minutes, depends what the clip is. And at any point you can pause it, you can examine it, sort of thing, and look, click on it, and then you click on it, and you clicked on her face, it will then show you another clip with that exact sort of kind of shot on it, and it'll run the next that'll run the next clip, and then say you pause it and you go, oh, look at that lamp, click on it, it'll take you to another scene with that lamp in it or something that looks like that. I mean, I paused on one where she was doing a T pose for a recording. Yeah, and she was doing a T pose, and I clicked on it, and it went to a shot of a cross, and it was then a cross. It was a scene with a cross in it, and then I did that, and then it's like you're just constantly just siphoning through, trying to figure out what it is. And there's triggers. I feel like there's triggers and different things to try and figure out the whole. Because all you're seeing is effectively scenes from a film, or like, you effectively just, and you're trying to figure out the disappearance of her and the whole mystery of it. And there's clearly something I've not quite got yet, but I spent, like I say, 2 hours last night. I feel like it was 11 o'clock again, where I'm just going through, like, okay, one more scene, okay, one more scene, one more scene, okay. And it's different. Sometimes it's like an old scene comes up that you've seen. So you click on something different in the scene, and it takes you somewhere in a completely different direction. And because it's like it's shots from three different films. One's like really old school, like religious kind of film. One's like a 70s kind of artsy film. And one's more of a I feel like a 90s film. And there's like three separate films. So it's very different. You can immediately tell which film it is you're trying to work out and piece together. And I'm finding myself just watching it going, okay, what part of the film is this? And I'm finding myself just getting invested in the films. The films aren't even real. There's fictional films. But I'm getting invested in it. And like I said, I spent 2 hours last night, easily 2 hours, just playing this, just clicking through footage, scrubbing through footage, clicking on stuff. Yeah, it's fascinating. If you liked Her Story, that came out probably close to 10 years ago now at this point, but if you like that, this is one of the next games that they made, and it's very good. It's on Game Pass as well. So it is worth giving a go. The only other thing that I have played, I've played probably about an hour of the Splatoon 3, which came out today. And it seems all right. It seems very much like the old Splatoons. From what I've seen, apparently the single player is where the whole massive change in the game is, and it's supposed to be much improved and a much better single player story campaign. So,
I've never played a Splatoon.
Run around and squirt your goop everywhere, don't you?
Yeah, it's painting a level, and whoever's got the most paint on the floor by the end of the level wins.
Oh, is
not,
it?
It's not really about killing people, you know, splatting them. But
people get into the paint, don't they? And stuff like that, or creatures do, isn't that right?
It depends which weapon you have, I suppose.
Yeah. I played it at GX a few years back, and it was quite fun.
Yeah, it's a cool, like, kind of sort of child-friendly...
Shoot 'em up,
yeah, shooter, like multiplayer shooter. And I've played, like, probably a dozen games at this point, and I've just enjoyed just going back in and now I've just unlocked the shops, so there's all the shops in the open world where you can go and look around and buy different, get different gear, and each different gear item gives you different abilities and different, like, buffs on you. So I can see myself playing this. I've played quite a bit of Splatoon 2 when that came out, and this is the third installment, and it's been good so far. Like I say, I'll probably come back with more of that next week because I'm probably going to play it over the weekend. And I think that is everything from me.
Splatoon! Anna, over to you. Splatoon!
Apart from Tiny Kings, which was an it took like my whole weekend, I really did enjoy it. I've restarted Tiny Tina's Wonderlands from the start as a new character. Because, like, I started it. This wasn't why I was playing. I just wanted to shoot something. And that was, like, the shooter I had at hand. And I didn't know that they had brought out a character that was locked to this season pass. So I was going through it and I couldn't select it. I was like, what's going on here? I know I own the season pass because I bought the stupid expensive box. So I had to reinstall all that, which was a bit weird. But there's like 4 DLCs out for it now. They're not like, I don't think they're massive story driven. I think they're just like new areas of the overmap. Like, because it's like a big map, like in Final Fantasy, where you would walk to an icon and then you would go into that part of the map, like village or cave or whatever. And so I think that's what's happened. But I had to install all the season pass stuff again. But now I'm playing as a new character that was connected to the season pass, and it's you basically can cat your companion as like a totem that spits poison at your enemies, and that's very fun to do, especially when you like you summon it behind the people and they're all just getting splattered in the back with poison and they're like going mad, and you can add like more elemental damage to it. So that was fun. I'm just having a very good time. It did annoy me because I did turn it on. And I was obviously in the character creation that, as you know, takes me a while because I really enjoy character creation. And it completely and utterly just went down, just completely broke. And I was like, what? I haven't even started the game. How's the game gonna get if you can't even just do simple character creation. So I started again, did all that rigmarole, and hasn't stuttered once. They improved things greatly, because when I was playing it the first time, some of the enemies were really tough. Like, they were, because I was just playing it on normal, and they were just really tough. They would just come at you, and if you're, like, I play on my own, as you know, and you were dying all the time, and it was, like, super annoying. But so they seem to have, is it called nerfed? I think that's the word. They've turned the damage or whatever down, just so you can survive more in the game. But yeah, I've done the first, like, level that you have to do, I now have to go and find the bard, I think that's called, like, the singing. The singing. Hold on, I can hear Andy. Yeah, later, Andy. Later on. Yeah, later on. I'm not sure. Sorry, he's just woken up. He's been asleep all day. So yeah, I'm doing that. I'm going to find him so he can sing to my boat, so my boat doesn't sink, even though it has sunk because I didn't have it sung to. But yeah, I like this game. It's more Borderlands, as you know. But that's kind of it. Between that, Tinykins and sleep, I've not done a lot. Oh no, I'll tell you what, Saints Row, can't stand it. I cannot get on board with it. I try and I just can't see the fun in it. I don't even know what, like, I'm supposed to be building an empire, and like one of the like main missions I've done is I had to LARP with one of my like friends, and I had to go around a castle with my foam gun, and like they act like do a fake death on the floor, and after you've seen them one too many times, it just gets on your nerves. It's like, oh, I'm going to lay down now because you've shot me. Or you sneak up with someone and you do like fake punches at them. And it's just, I don't know who this game is made for. It definitely isn't made for me. I made a mistake. I thought it would be good. Like the trailer, the announcement trailer looks excellent, but like, I even get, like, I've got a main base, and I still don't know how to get upstairs, where, the like, you've got, like, a map that you look at so you can take over certain areas, and I still don't know how to get upstairs. It's just, yeah, it's not for me. I like the character, like, my character, because obviously I made her, but apart from that, I can't stand it. So, it'll just sit on the shelf and rot for all I care. I just want God of War so badly. That is just, oh, I need,
which means
game.
You'll hate it, because whenever you talk like this about games, you hate them.
Oh no, because I recently played the first one and loved it, and I just want to see how their relationship grows, and how, and like, because of like the last minute of that game, once something is revealed, I'm like, what now, who, why, when? So yeah, I need to see how that goes, because it's such a good ending. Now I need to finish it. But yeah, I love God of War. Such a good game. So, it's just, yes. But that's it. That's me.
Well, we'll wrap things up there then, boys and girls. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter at MGUK Podcast. You can follow me at Lelujo.
And I'm at RB6K.
I'm at Miss Lelujo.
And I have 1986.
And I'm now wearing a third hat.
I know, is that a legitimate hat or a McDonald's hat?
This was
a paper hat. I see now.
It's a paper hat that I got from the Pokemon World Championships down in London recently. They had the three starters for the new Pokemon games, and said, which one do you want? And I said, I'm not willing to choose here. You'll have to choose for me. So he gave me this one. So I don't know if that means this is now my starter, or if I still get to make my own choice, because I kind of want the duck one. But I've got the green one. I don't know any of their names yet, but yeah.
You're wearing a hat. The green one.
The duck is actually, and that one's something like Sprigatito, something like that.
Yeah, and then there's the one that's like a pepper.
So I don't know if I now have to play with this, or if I can still choose. I have to consult the rules. I have grown attached to the hat. But anyway, see you next week, boys and girls.
Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Leicester folks.